The Score's Matt Bowen, former NFLer, was in Indy over the weekend. He joins us right now on the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Stop into one of their eight Chicagoland restaurant locations today. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Everything is good here. Wide receivers, obviously, Bears fans talking about him. And Michael Floyd, according to most accounts, raised his stock a little bit over the weekend. You think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, some people don't buy into 40 times, but I'll tell you what. When you're looking at wide receivers and corners, these scouts, GMs, and head coaches, they want guys that can run. They're not going to overdraft a guy who doesn't have a good 40 time. They want to see these guys run. They want to see him perform. And that was kind of the question about, you know, Notre Dame's Michael Floyd coming into the combine. What type of top-end speed does he have? Everyone knows he's probably a first-round grade without running, but now he had that 4.47 official 40 time to his scouting report, and you say, well, is he even going to be there at number 19 when the Bears are on the clock? Because he might not be anymore.
Hey, Matt, what of the measurables can also help examine a wide receiver? I mean, legendarily, Jerry Rice had a crappy 40 time, but he had separation speed. Mm-hmm. You know, and you as a DB know, obviously, it's sometimes not about just flat-out speed. Are there measurables at the combine that help you figure out if a guy has game speed that differs from perhaps his 40 time?
Well, they'll look at the short shuttle, and the short shuttle is a 20-yard shuttle. It's, you know, you start in the line, go 5 yards, 10 yards, and then 5 yards back. You know, they want to see a time in the high threes or low 4 seconds there. And the position drills are big at the combine because they want to see you run some routes, how you come out of your breaks. But the key to all of this is to take these numbers, if you're a scout, and go back and watch the game tape. You know, if you got a guy that's 4.4, it looks like 4.6 on tape, well, then you throw that 40 time out. But if you got a guy like Michael Floyd that can run in a 4.47, you turn the tape and he's making a lot of plays, and you say, you know what? We got a good player here.
I guess that shuttle makes sense, Mac, right? You see a guy, how quick he is out of break.
Burst. Yeah, I want to know how a guy explodes off the line of scrimmage. Well, Matt, if you were in Phil Emery's position and you're sitting there at 19, if Floyd is available, do you take him?
It depends what I do in free agency. You know, in free agency, they could, you know, obviously Vincent Jackson is, quote-unquote, the prize of the free agent class at wide receiver because he's a true number one. You look at guys like Robert Meacham. I don't know what's going to happen with Dwayne Bowe. He might get franchised. But if you get one of those guys, then you say, now we can address another need at number 19 and maybe still pick up another wide receiver, you know, in the second round, third round, fourth round, because you still have to build that unit here in Chicago, especially with Johnny Knox's injury. And Roy Williams pretty much not coming back. You still have to add depth and talent to that position. So let's see what they do in free agency, because if they get one of those guys, then you can start looking at DN at number 19. Mm. You can look at a tackle if a tackle drops. You can look at a cornerback. There's a lot of other ways you can go. So I think with Phil Emery, you have to see what he does that first week of free agency if he opens his wallet a little bit.
Yeah, they are connected. They're absolutely connected. And I can't stop thinking about the wide receivers. And if they do get a big one, and Matt wants Vincent Jackson.
I can tell.
That would be his target amongst the top-tier free agents. Then maybe in the second round or the third round, you can find a guy. And some guys really impressed. How about A.J. Jenkins out of Illinois? He ran really fast, and I believe he was the top broad jumper among wide receivers as well.
Yeah, I remember doing that broad jump too. It's one of the first events you do it, Indy, and you're super tight and you're trying to jump. I looked very unathletic in that one. I'll tell you.
Did you jump over a beer can?
Yeah, pretty much. Jump over a Busch Light can. That's about it. But you know, Jenkins is another guy. When they post these big 40 times, you turn heads a little bit. And the scouts, if they weren't doing your homework, if you see that time, if you see a high 4.3 or a low 4.4 guy, you say, you know what? I got to go back and watch more tape in this kid now. Because he just did something here, even though it's in shorts, that impressed me. Now I want to see if that equates to the game tape. And then there's other guys. Brian Quick, I've talked about him from the Senior Bowl, small school guy from Appalachian State. You know, he ran the mid-4.5s, but he's big. He's 6'3", 220-plus. Marvin McNutt from Iowa, 6'2", 212, ran in the mid-4.5s officially. That's a good time for a bigger wide receiver and a later-round pick. Mm-hmm. That's how you add, you know, you add that depth to your roster. You know, Whitney Merciless, the defensive end from Illinois, he just ran a 4.63. Okay, that's going to boost his. He had a lot of production this past year at U of I. I think he had 16 sacks.
Consider me much more interested in A.J. Jenkins now that I see that time, because he actually looked good on Saturdays. I thought he very often looked good on Saturdays.
On occasion.
Yeah?
Not consistent enough.
It's the games that I watched, I thought he did look good. But, all right. Well, you know, you keep mentioning defensive ends, Matt. It's interesting. And now that the Bears are parting ways with Spice Adams, with Anthony Adams, that news comes yesterday. You think they should go after, at some point, either in free agency or early on in the draft, a legit number two defensive end? You know, then Izzy Adonijé, if you can keep him, can be your three and can be a guy who moves around as needed, right? Is that how you'd do it?
Yeah, I think so. You look what the Giants did in the Super Bowl. The Giants have a package where they use four defensive ends, okay? And we saw last year more than a couple times, that Marinelli would move Peppers inside to a defensive tackle lineman. You know, when they bring their sub package on the field, the more speed. That's why I'm not surprised they're going to go try to sign Okoye again, because he can get up the field. You know, a guy like Henry Melton, I know Henry's not super consistent, but he's that flash player on third downs. And that's where you have to win in the NFL. It doesn't matter if you're playing cover two or cover four, man-to-man. If you got guys and get after the quarterback, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's what Lovie has predominantly done here in Chicago. Why he's won games is because of that defensive line. But I think you need another guy opposite Peppers to solidify that unit.
Anthony Adams started only four games last year, played about 25% of the snaps. No surprise. I'm not surprised at all that they wind up getting rid of him. I mean, I just immediately start to think about who's next. Ooh. Who's the next veteran who winds up being called in and saying, you know what, thanks for everything, but we're going to go in another direction. And I heard Brad Biggs today debating this with Mully and Hanley, Matt, and it was the thought was, well, I don't know if you can afford to part with Frank Omiel, because veteran offensive linemen just aren't there in September. Do you really see another camp with Frank Omiel as a part of the mix?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You go down to Michigan Avenue, go down Rush Street on Friday night, those guys aren't walking around.
Yeah.
You know,
they may look
around
like it, but they're not.
And they're not. That's the problem with offensive linemen, and especially during free agency. Everyone says, well, you get a tackle during free agency. The teams that have top-tier left tackles, those guys don't hit free agency. They don't. They're already re-signed. Those teams take care of them. So you're picking up scraps during free agency. But you can't look at the draft. I mean, everyone always talks about, well, you got to build to the draft. Well, then let's see it. Draft a developmental left tackle. Draft someone you can work with and eventually groom into a starter, because that's what the great teams do.
Well, they've got their developmental left tackle, and it's Jamarcus Webb. And Lovie Smith sounded like he's going to stick with that developmental left tackle if it's up to him. And that scared some people. Matt, I got to go back to wide receivers, because I'm a glutton for wide receivers. And I know
that's all they should get this year, the Bears, just
six,
wide receivers.
Six of them.
Draft a bunch of them and sign them all.
Yep. Man, some of them can block. This guy, Stephen Hill. I know you wrote about him on NationalFootballPost.com. I saw him ranked seventh among wide receivers before this combine. Then he goes out and runs a 4.36. Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's 6'4", 206, and supposedly a very good blocker at a guy that big on a certain run play. So what do you think of Stephen Hill now, Matt Bowen?
Well, I think it's a great discussion, because he played in a triple option offense at Georgia Tech. And so when you play in a triple option offense in the college game, the one route you run is the nine route, the deep ball, because you get open off of play action, because opposing defenses have to put 10 guys in the box to stop the option. The question with Hill is, what are you getting? You're getting that size and speed. I mean, anyone who's 6'4", who runs in the 4.3 range is going to cause scouts to go back and watch more tape because they're interested. I think he's going to end up at the back end of the first round or the early second round. The question is, how developed is he? Is he more than just a deep ball guy? Because if you draft that guy and you expect him to be your number one, like a place here in Chicago, I think he'd be a little disappointed, because rookie wide receivers do struggle. You know, they're not going against little boys outside the numbers anymore.
Yeah.
You have to go against men out there. Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey, you know, Charles Woodson, guys that will get your hands on you and beat you to death at
Tim
the line
Jennings.
Of scrimmage. So it's a tough transition. I think Stephen Hill will rise up draft boards, but from my opinion, he needs to go to a team that already has an established wide receiver core, and they don't have that in Chicago.
Are you an Eddie Royal guy?
Yes, I think he's a complimentary player, just like Mario Manningham, who's going to be out there from the Giants. You know, you look at Mario Manningham, he was great. He made some big plays. Everyone remembers the catch he had in the Super Bowl, scored touchdowns in the postseason, but he's also playing with Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz. And those guys aren't coming with him. So if he signed him, realize, yes, Mario Manningham or an Eddie Royal, the good, solid receivers, but you got to have a little bit more on your roster already.
Great stuff. Thanks, Matt Bowen. Been a pleasure talking to you around the combine. We'll talk to you soon.